Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Michael Gray and I'm excited tonight because we have a special Good News Update from the Africa team in Cantalamba, Zambia. It's a pre-recorded audio file and so I'm going to go ahead and start that right now.
Sherry and I got an email 3 days ago asking us if we would record from Zambia a Good News Update. And so I'm sitting here on the property in Cantalamba with a group of folks who have joined us for the summer, as well as Teresa and Veronica, who coordinate the project in Cantalamba, and Friday, our faithful driver who has taken us everywhere that we need to go. So we're going to pass the microphone around for people to talk about what's moved them so far being here on the property.
Hi, this is John. I would like to offer anyone who wants to have an experience of pure joy to arrive at the compound in Cantalamba and have 100 smiling, laughing children come up to the and try it all at once to get into the back of the truck as we motored in and ask, "How are you? How are you?" and want to shake your hand all at once. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, and I have to agree with John. It is just an amazing experience to drive up and just have all of these smiling, laughing faces welcoming you. And one thing that I noticed, too, is, you know, driving into the property and even before we got into Cantalamba, it's just this sort of, you know, dusty brown color. And then the closer and closer you get to the property, it just is, you just start seeing green. And we got a tour of the garden, and just it's just so amazing to me that just with a little water, how you can just start growing your own food and having grass and trees, and it just was such a contrast to me, just how little it takes to produce that.
This is Scott, and what struck me was the tremendous accomplishment in the face of tremendous need here with limited resources. The project has built a beautiful building with classrooms and a large space for a medical clinic, as well as a beautiful Inteka structure and a garden. And it's just a very beautiful accomplishment here.
One of the things that was really fun for Sherry and Teresa and I was to set up having the folks join us here for the first time on the property. We called Teresa yesterday and we hatched a plan so that when we all arrived on the property, all of the Living Compassion staff were hidden. And so we sort of looked around, geez, I wonder where the staff is. And we took our guests up to the top of the property. They've built this beautiful, what they call an ensaka. It's an open-air structure with a thatched roof. So we took our guests up there, and we were enjoying the view. And then suddenly we hear this beautiful music coming from down below. And the women and Charles, who's the one male Living Compassion employee, came up the hill and greeted all of us with their beautiful singing, which is always one of my favorite things about being here in Cantalamba.
And doesn't Teresa have some special? I think Teresa has some special news for us.
Hi, I'm Teresa Kapenda, Living Compassion, Cantalamba, Zambia. I have a special announcement to you guys there in the U.S. Congratulations, David. You have been named here. A baby boy was recently born. Georgina delivered us a baby boy and has named him David. Congratulations, my dear friend. I hope you have a wonderful time.
I asked Teresa about, I don't know, the baby was born maybe 3 weeks or a month ago, and I asked her recently, what did they name the baby? And she said, you know, I'm just not sure. I can't remember. And I thought, gosh, that's so funny that she can't remember the baby's name. Well, come to find out that they were keeping it a secret because they wanted to tell Dave in person. So we settled for second best. Since Dave isn't with us on the trip, we decided we would record it on the radio show so that Dave would get the news.
This is Jan, and significant experience for me here has just been meeting Teresa and seeing the leadership and the good hands that this project is in here.
Yeah.
To be joined by Dave McKay. Dave's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and he's here with us today. The Africa team is in Zambia, as most of you know, and Dave, it's great to have you here.
And great to be here, as always. I just barely made it. I was just rolled off the road. I almost missed the show because I was in a traffic jam.
Well, it's really wonderful, and as usual, I project a huge amount of willingness onto you and all of the monks, and it's great to see example after example of that.
Yeah, well, it sure keeps life exciting. I guess, you know, that's good for all of us.
Yes, definitely. And, Dave, we have two callers in the queue here.
Okay, super. Let's do it.
Okay, great. Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Dave and Michael. This is Jen.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
That was amazing. I know you said you were running late. I don't know if you got to hear all of the stuff from Africa, but that was really, really wonderful.
I didn't get to hear it because I just rolled in, but Michael filled me in that Georgina had baby Dave.
Yes, I was just thinking, I hope that you got that news, so good.
Isn't that exciting?
Wow,
I was just thinking about this morning because I went on the, you know, check out the blogs they've been writing and saw Sherry with Baby Sherry, and I was like, huh, wonder what's up with Baby Dave. And then here comes the announcement today.
Boy, that's quite amazing. It just, you know, it was such a great, just getting a chance to listen to that, it just was one of those reminders of life unfolding, and it was kind of like all the conditioning that I've been looking at, it just wasn't even important, it wasn't even there, it was just getting to be present for listening to that news from Africa was just so great, so thank you to all of you guys for that.
Yeah, well, and I kind of think that's what it's all about, you know, that, because in a way we all get to participate just by sort of listening in, it, you know, brings us here and kind of helps us remember what's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to arrange, you know, like calls every hour or something from Africa. That would help.
That's for sure. So what's going on with you these days?
I don't know what to say, but just change. I've been calling in a little because I used to work on Tuesdays, and I'm not now. I'm just in this transition of having moved to a new place, and I just wanted to call in because I can now for one, and just I don't know if you saw Sherry sent out an email today about the practice opportunity, and it really just helped me, I think, disidentify, and so I kind of wanted to call in about that and just be participating. So.
Yeah, it's good to catch those disidentified moments, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jump in there while you can.
Exactly, yeah. I've just been noticing, you know, with moving, my reflective listening got kind of, you know, spotty because it was hard to get phone or internet access for a while, and I'm
mm-hmm.
not doing my sitting group, and I'm not teaching yoga, which was something that really required me to be present, and so I think that it feels like there are kind of more opportunities for conditioning to be just kind of sneaking in and taking over, and I'm not even realizing it until,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have these moments when I can realize it, so.
Yeah, it's really true. Now, have you considered maybe replacing some of those supports with other things that you can do right now?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that. I noticed that, you know, I did catch one like, well, you're not doing the sitting group right now, so there goes that. And then I realized, well, I could go and sit with someone. I mean, I'm sure that there, you know, is a Quaker group or there's somebody sitting here, even if I'm not, you know, involved in a Living Compassion sitting group now. So I've been trying to look at that a little and find some ways, even though I'm not really kind of set up in this community yet, I'm sure that there are ways that I can set up some supports, and I haven't quite figured that out yet. But
yeah, well, and there's lots of things you could do that don't even involve other people. You know, like, so you don't have your sitting group, but if you're sitting, you're a sitting group. You know, so you could sit at that time or at other times during the day. You know, people talk about stuff like, you know, of course, I'm not sure if you're working right now, but if you have a lunch hour, you know, you go out, and instead of going to lunch with the gang, you know, go to a park and have lunch by yourself, or, you know, schedule sort of little mini retreats in the middle of your day where you can go off and be in a quiet place and breathe and pay attention. You know, you can put little reminders up all over your house to come back to the breath and be here and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for those reminders, because I think you mentioned something about kind of schedule in there, or, you know, building things into the schedule, and I think just maybe I'm not actually working right now, so there isn't really a schedule, and I'm
mm-hmm.
finding how difficult that is, and maybe having some kind of schedule that includes some supports might be really helpful.
I think it would be really helpful, because, you know, without something to sort of kind of keep us focused on practice, it's really, really hard to keep focused on practice, because conditioned mind is so there to, you know, pull our attention away. And that's what all those little reminders I just mentioned, you know, of course, that's what all those are all about. And having some kind of a schedule that you can be sort of referring to as you go through your day can be really, really helpful. And it doesn't have to be, you know, anything overwhelming or even especially challenging, but just to know that, you know, you're going to sit at this time, say, and maybe, you know, you've got your reflective listening buddies calls scattered in there. Maybe at this time you're going to just stop and breathe, you know, maybe once an hour or something like that. But just to have something in there that you can refer to so you can kind of know that you're heading towards where you're wanting to go. instead of just, you know, without any kind of structure. Conditioned mind is just so good at jerking us around and pulling us off in different places. And before we even realize it, we're off somewhere where we really don't want to be.
Yeah, that's definitely what's been where I have been. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's okay to just see it and notice it. And some of Sherry's email is kind of about those persistent voices of discontent. And I realized that I was getting told that I was having the wrong experience, you know, like this, there's some conditioning about, you know, this is the ideal thing that everybody, you know, talks about. I have this bit of time off where I'm not having to go to work, so all the content about work, you know, I can't complain about that. I don't have it going on, and so I'm supposed to be having this certain experience. It should be ideal. It should be this. It should be that. And, you know, then I'm getting told that I'm not having that experience, and on top of that, you know, what kind of an idiot am I for not having that experience, because this should be so great. And I kind of finally caught that and realized that's where I have been spending a lot of time, is listening to that.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Voices cartoons that have been going out?
A little bit, yes. I'm finally getting some internet access again, so yes, those are great, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's exactly what Alex was pointing out with those cartoons. You know, it's just, you know, the one thing that we can be sure of is that conditioning is going to use anything, whatever's there, to try to assert itself. Right. And so,
yeah,
you know, if you're in the middle of work, you know, and you're really busy, it'll use that. Suddenly there's nothing to do. You've got all the space. It'll use that. It really doesn't matter. But we know that that's what it's going to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just getting to see that. Right. It doesn't matter what the content is, that the process is just going to be, let's figure out how to make this person miserable no matter what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if we don't believe a story like, you know, you're having the wrong experience, you know, what we can get, and, you know, this is from an outside perspective, it's easy to project this onto what's going on with you, that, you know, there you are in the middle of your life, practicing being present and seeing the voices as best as you can, and they're the voices. You know, they're doing what they're doing. And, you know, the voice that says, you know, you're having the wrong experience is designed to keep your attention away from it, right? It's designed to, you know, like you've been saying, make you feel bad about yourself, thinking about, you know, there's something that you're doing wrong, you're not the right person, those kinds of things. And the whole point of that is to keep you from noticing that it's causing, you know, the problem that you're having. And so if we can kind of get it that, you know, there, on one level, there is no right experience. And on another level, if we could say that there is a right experience, in a way it would be being in the middle of the voices, because that's what practice is. It's just being in the middle of conditioned mind, attempting to bring consciousness to that and letting it go and moving on.
Yeah, that's so good to hear, because I did see that a little, just, you know, that there's no problem going on except for these voices telling me that there is a problem with what's happening. And there's, I think maybe it was a peace code at one point or something about, you know, whatever you're doing is the most important thing. And so I was trying to practice with that today, that, you know what, whatever I'm doing is just what I'm meant to be doing right now. It's fine. Instead of, it seemed to help bring me back, instead of that conversation of how I should be feeling and what I should be doing and wherever else conditioning wanted me to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, of course, the thing we always have the opportunity to do in every moment of our lives is to see what's going on with conditioned mind. You know, to see,
yeah,
you know, what am I being told right now? You know, what am I believing that's not true? Is there anything that I can let go of right now to experience myself in a larger and more free kind of a way? You know, because all the content of life, you know, the job, the relationship, you know, all the stuff that's sort of out there really is kind of irrelevant from the point of view of, you know, someone who is interested in becoming free of conditioned mind. You know, really the only thing that's relevant is, what is my relationship with conditioning right now? Am I believing it or am I not believing it? And if I'm not believing it, how can I bring my attention back to a place where I can see what's going on and then let it go and step to a place of clarity again?
Yeah, absolutely.
It really takes the pressure off. That's one of the things I like about it, because there's nothing that says, you know, okay, so you're suffering. All right, well, that's good. You know, that's what it's all about. We're trying
right
to see through suffering. It's not that, you know, if we're doing it right, then we'll be in these kind of, you know, bliss states or, you know, the kind of things that people idealize. Now, those things will definitely happen sometimes, but it's not like those are the result of doing the right thing. That's just a part of the process as much as anything else. And so if we get it that, you know, really the only thing we're trying to do is just be as present as we can without any standards to the voices in our heads and letting go of those things, then really life gets pretty simple and pretty easy, because that's not hard to do.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to want to go back and listen to that again and sort of get that. But yeah, that's great. And it maybe along with that, you mentioned sitting, and I am still, my sitting hasn't been as consistent. I've been living between two places, and it's been a little crazy. But you know, now that I'm kind of in one place, I am sitting, and I guess I'm noticing. You know, I'm noticing what's going on, and it's been rough. I am just fidgeting all over. At times I've caught myself, you know, getting up and doing something and then realizing, oh my God, I was sitting, you know, and I'm just all over the place. And you know, I guess I'm just noticing that, but I was sort of wondering like, wow, I wonder if there are some ways I can work with this to be sitting in a way that's, I'm not sitting in a way that's probably, you know, I don't know. It's just been kind of wild. I'm really all over the place with the sitting right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing you can know about a time of transition is that it's a really good time to see conditioning. I think you might even have been talking about this before in an earlier show. I can't recall. But, you know, so if you're used to going along in your life in a certain way, you know, there's like these certain ruts that you get into, you know, places where you're unconscious and you're not sort of aware of how conditioning kind of behind the scenes is orchestrating things. If you suddenly change all the content in your life, those ruts are gone with the content. And so as conditioning tries to reestablish itself, it's in a lot of danger of being seen if someone is paying attention. And so there's going to be, during a transition, there's going to be a lot of pressure to go unconscious in sort of larger ways than you might be used to, because, you know, conditioning is going to try to pull the wool over your eyes so it can't see, you can't see how it's setting itself back up with whatever new stuff you've got going on in your life. You know, so a lot of times during transitions, people will go to addictive behaviors in a way that surprises them, because it's like, well, gosh, where did that come from? I mean, I haven't struggled with that in a long time. Well, it's because conditioning is really threatened, and we're so used to kind of go along with conditioning's program that, you know, we'll start to reach for the things that it suggests to us as a way to kind of keep everything, you know, sort of under wraps and in control. And so something like, you know, if you sit down to meditate, then, you know, you've got a really good shot as you're sitting there of being present and, you know, experiencing yourself outside of conditioned mind. And so, of course, there's going to be a lot of energy there that's going to try to pull you in other places, because, you know, that's for conditioning is a really kind of scary place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been pretty... Like I said, just kind of wild to see and just to realize, oh, my God, I'm, you know, in another room when I was meaning to sit or whatever's going on.
How the heck did I end up in the kitchen? I don't understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's really,
so a couple, on a practical level, a couple things about that. One is that, you know, there's no standards, of course, like we were just talking about. So, you know, nothing is an occasion for a beating. It's all we're trying to do is just see what's going on. And on another level, you know, the ways that you can support yourself, of course, if there's other people to sit with, you can do that. Sounds like that's not available to you a lot of times. And so, you know, you could get yourself like a timer, for example, and, you know, let the timer keep the time. Just set it over somewhere where you can't see it. And so you'll know, you know, you make a commitment, you're going to sit there for this amount of time. And then, you know, the voices can do whatever they're going to do. And you've got that commitment to kind of hold you steady on the cushion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed also that, you know, that wanting to sit for a lot shorter period of time and all that kind of stuff too. And, you know, so I'm just trying to watch all of it. And like you said, not get into getting a beating over it, but seeing also if I can come back to a more consistent practice, because I know that will be a good support too. So, yeah.
Yeah. And this is a really good time to be your own teacher in a way. You know, it goes back kind of back to, you know, what we're talking about a minute ago with the schedule. So you might consider, you know, at the beginning of the week, make a schedule for the week. You know, here I'm going to sit here, you know, at these times, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know, kind of set up the ways that you can see to support your practice. And then that's decided. It's kind of like, being at the monastery. You know, you come to the monastery, you don't have any choice about following the schedule. And so you just follow it. And so if you can sort of, you know, get as centered as you can, drop all those standards, maybe lower your expectations a little bit, so not sit as much as conditioning says you need to, But make it something that's going to be, you know, feel good and is going to be easy to be successful at, and then post it somewhere. And there's your schedule for the week. And then, of course, what you'll see is everything conditioning tries to do to sabotage that. But it's like it gives you a structure that reflects that conditioning as it tries to take it away from you.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to work with that. I do. I have a one-year-old coming to stay with me for the next couple of weeks, so I think that's going to be even more interesting to kind of, you know, play with the schedule as I'm sharing some time with her. But I'm also really, she's a great place of unconditional love for me too, and so I'm really, you know, excited to just see how all of that will play out too. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, there'll be lots of opportunity in that too, because boys, it's going to be hard to, I would imagine, harder to live in a world of self-hatred when you've got such a, you know, a young, innocent person with you. Be a lot of love and compassion bubbling up to help you, I bet you, against all the voices.
Absolutely. That's a neat way to think about it. So, well, thanks. I don't want to take too much time here, but I knew, especially with her coming, this might be my last chance to call for a little bit, because I think it's going to be just a different experience for a while. But I'm so grateful for all the support that you guys provide, just having the show to call into and reading the Transform Your Life and getting the email, because I'm in a position to not get some other kinds of supports, but it's so great to have those, and I just so appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Michael, also. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Today we have the special privilege of having Dave McKay with us here. Dave, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Sportstalk Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Sportstalk has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Dave, as I was listening to Jen, I was thinking it's definitely my experience that conditioning is always there in the background, making some case. And as you pointed out, you know, at one time I'm too busy, and then the next moment I'm too bored, and whatever it is, it seems like there's always material there.
Yeah, it's really true. And, you know, there's a place from which we can take some relief in that, you know, because a lot in life can't really be counted on. But conditioning can definitely be counted on. You know, one thing we say at the monastery repeatedly, supposedly Gandhi said that, you know, conditioning is the worthy opponent because it will never leave us alone. Of course, you know, he didn't talk about it in exactly that language, but I think that's what he was talking about, is this thing that we call conditioned mind. That, you know, it'll never leave us alone. Waking or sleeping, it's always at us to try to pull us out of the moment. And so there is always... we always have an opportunity because of that, and even more than opportunity, sort of we have a lot of support in a really sort of different kind of a way for waking up and ending suffering, because we have to, because if we don't pay attention, then we're going to suffer, and if we don't want to do that, then you know, there is a way to not suffer, and conditioning is always in a way pointing that way out to us.
Yeah, that's my experience. And as Jen was mentioning also, it seems like with this practice in particular, there are always new support tools coming out, and it's just so wonderful to see those, you know, reflective listening buddies, the one thing practice opportunity, the voices cartoons, the email classes. I project a real commitment from Sherry and from you, the monks, to really show us the way that's possible.
Yeah, and to kind of shake us out of those ruts that we were talking about a little while ago with Jen, because it's amazing how quickly, even with something like a practice opportunity, how quickly conditioning can come in and take it for itself in a way that we completely don't even realize. And so, you know, Sherry, I mean, the stuff comes from Sherry. You know, she's the process generating factory. And you know, and I think that's what it's all about. It's kind of bewildering conditioning all the time, just throwing stuff at it from so many different angles that it can't establish itself in a way that you know, that we can't see it. You know, there'll be a new thing that comes along that will ask us to look at conditioning in a different way. We're out of those ruts again, seeing it with new eyes. The ruts start to build again, then suddenly there's something new and we shift again. And so we're always kind of looking for that new point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my experience. Dave, I can keep talking here. And there are several people in line here, so let's bring them on board. Okay, next caller, you are now on the line. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi, Dave. I am calling on my dinner break, so I don't have a lot of time, so I'll just cut to the chase here.
Okay.
I'm a union activist, and I am trying to decide if I want to continue to do that because I'm thinking that it's bringing out the worst in me, and maybe it's just bringing out so much conditioning. And, you know, maybe that's what's happening. I feel very angry a lot. I'm fearful. It's mainly fear that got me to be a union activist, to be worried about what's happening on the job and with people, with fellow workers. And I'm wondering if it's worth it, and if it would be better to just drop it, because it's not making me, I'm not feeling peaceful with it. I guess I'm trying to decide if the role is requiring so much, if the role requires my conditioning, go ahead.
How long have you been doing this?
About 3 years.
Okay. Now, if you talked about, you know, the different kind of, you know, the anger and different kind of reactions that you were having, if I were to say, tell me what you think about this, that being in that role brings up a lot of energy for you inside you, how would you respond to that?
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I'm comparing it to in my mind is I was talking to somebody. Somebody was sharing in some place where I was recently about being in a situation where there was a lot of conflict, and being in the role of a facilitator. It's like a, you know, like a community sort of a conflict people were having over some issue, and there were people on both sides. People were shouting, getting upset, stuff like that. And the person who was sharing was saying that she was in, sort of by accident, sort of by choice, a role as a facilitator in some of the meetings that were being had about this issue.
Uh-huh.
And what she was saying was that, you know, conditioning, of course, is going to have all kinds of stuff to say about that. And, you know, how in the world do you end up here, and what are you doing? Are you crazy and stuff like that? But what she got is it's going to ask for the best from her in a way. It's going to be a really big energy sort of experience. You
mm-hmm.
with me? And
yeah.
So what I wonder is, you know, so you're in that position. Tell me if this is kind of what's going on, that it takes you out of the sort of the world that you're used to live in and takes you to a larger place that has more energy to it. The way that you find your conditioning reacting to that is through anger and, you know, these non-peaceful kind of things that you're struggling with. But that what's really going on is you're attempting to manage that energy that's there because of the position you're in.
I think that's probably true. I hadn't thought of it that way. There's a lot of energy,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of excitement, and some of it feels good.
Yeah, but I bet it does.
Yeah, it does.
Sometimes you kind of get in the flow. Things are working, or maybe you feel like you're doing a good job, or you know, you feel like you're sort of on board with what you're being asked to do, or something like that. And
right.
The movement of that energy really feels good instead of feeling difficult.
Right. And we're helping people. We're actually getting some things changed so that some people are helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it feels really good. It feels very important to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm also aware that part of the motive is that there are things I want out of my job, and I'm in there fighting for them. So it is about me.
Yeah, well, I mean, who could blame you, really? It's your job, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's people, I don't know if you've noticed, but in general, this is what, when I look around the world, this is what I see, that people don't tend to have a lot of willingness to kind of step into big places and try to make a difference for things. Have you noticed that? Mostly people are focused on themselves, focused on getting what they want, kind of, you know, getting the things that make them feel good about themselves for them, but not so much kind of putting themselves on the line to sort of make a difference for other people or for the world.
Right.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
Yeah, and I project, I mean, who knows, but when I look at myself, what I can see about it is, it's really what we're talking about, that, you know, most people don't know how to manage a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to be with the big kind of energy that comes from stepping out and sort of acting from a place that is full of a lot of heart. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. You're right. I do. I tend to be, I tend to have energy for my job, and I have energy for this, and I have energy for certain relationships,
mm-hmm.
and then often by myself, I have like no energy at all,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
I kinda, you know, it's like protecting myself almost from that energy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in a way, in similar to what you were talking about before, you know, when we're identified with conditioning, we want to stay small. We don't want to have a lot of energy. Another way of saying that is, you know, conditioning is interested in our energy. You know, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we talk about this all the time. There's this life force. Conditioning is kind of a task that life force, using that life force to create itself, basically. And so, what you can know is, you know, if you feel kind of like a sponge that's been wrung out, then
mm-hmm.
you can know that conditioning's there. If that sort of aliveness and, you know, like you were saying a little while ago, you feel like you're doing some good. You know, boy, is that a big energy place. You know, and it's a place, at least in my experience, where the energy is really moving. You know, it's not going into conditioning, kind of being sort of drained off by the conditioning and the different things that the voices are saying. You know, it's moving. It's serving life. And it's serving you as it's serving life. But very few people know how to actually allow that to happen. Instead, most people are in a sort of a contract with conditioning that says, any energy I have, I'll give to you. And so it's really scary to put ourselves in a place that creates a lot of energy, because it's also potentially going to create a lot of suffering, because that's the experience. Suffering is the experience of giving our energy over to conditioning.
I feel like a lot of it, I'm judging it, I'm just aware that I'm making a judgment about it. It feels like the union activity is often, it doesn't feel compassionate. You know, maybe I want to say about that, but it doesn't feel nice. It doesn't feel like I'm being a nice person when I'm confronting the company or when I'm working to make a change. I'm not sweet. I'm not nice, you know?
Yeah, well, so now in our little sin world that we live in, nice doesn't carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, okay.
You know, nice is not very high up there on our priority list. Now, being centered is way up there on the priority list. And often that doesn't look like nice. But typically, typically being centered is kind, you might say, is, you know, the different kind of things that look like nice but are not at all like nice.
Well, you know, I think I'm not, I guess I want to say I don't feel very kind. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking that I'm not centered. I mean, I'm absolutely not centered. I can really easily get caught up in, I'll forget to be at center.
Mm-hmm. Sure, of course you will.
Anger or fear.
Yeah, of course.
And, okay.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, and if you take all the standards and expectations out of it, there's no problem with that at all. You know, for some reason, and I don't even know if it's a reason, but for some reason, here you are in this situation with this thing in front of you to do. And so you could take this, if you wanted to, you could take this sort of as your assignment. You know how, you know, you come to the monastery and you get a job from the work director.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
You know, could you please go and wash all the dishes? You know, the same thing. Could you please go and tend to this union activity for as long as you want to do that? And just like with washing the dishes, I have a choice when I go wash the dishes to, you know, to be with myself, to be take care of myself, or to resist that and go into conditioning. And that pile of dishes is my practice opportunity. You know, it's the vehicle for finding out the difference between a life of self-love and self-compassion and a life of self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with this. The scale is bigger, but it's really no different. And It presents you, especially if you put it together with the energy that we're talking about, you know, it presents you with a really big opportunity, it seems like, to find out, to learn how to work with that energy and learn how to be centered in a situation that is, you know, beyond what your, you know, kind of what your sort of the arms of your acceptance can embrace at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. That gives me some perspective on it and kind of bring me back to the practice.
Yeah, because that's what it's all about. You know, at some point you might decide you don't want to do this anymore, and that's completely fine.
Right.
But in the meantime, might as well, you know, take those standards, just throw them out the window, and then just like everything else, use this to see how you cause yourself to suffer, and use this to see, you know, is there a way that you can live in a larger way with yourself than you've discovered up till now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Dave.
Okay, thanks, Catherine.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the special privilege of having Dave McKay with us. Dave's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Dave, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful, simply because we can. Zen blues music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life, my what a life, what a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
I sure do love it. I sure.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air. Today we have Dave McKay with us. Dave's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Dave, we have two more callers in the queue here. Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Isha. I'm from Cobb, California.
Hello, Isha. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you.
What's going on?
I scheduled this to be a day to do artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed how conditioning is just telling me that that I should be doing something more important. I mean, it even told me I shouldn't call in because other people have called in about doing artwork and what the monks, what you guys are doing in Africa is so much more important that I, you know, I shouldn't even bother talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
that's
where we bring in the old blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
So you scheduled yourself to do some artwork today, and what you're watching is basically conditioning's resistance to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you were to kind of speculate, what's going on with that? Why would conditioning have a problem with you doing art today?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a reason other than that's what conditioning does, and conditioning is kind of like the parrot that repeats everything that that I was told about doing artwork.
Ah.
It seems to follow the same lines as it's unimportant, you know.
It's unimportant. Now, what makes you, like, tell me about your relationship to art. Is it something you enjoy, something you look forward to, anything like that?
It's inspirational for me.
Inspirational. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's a really good reason not to do it, isn't there? Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it would bring me joy and make me full of energy and happy, and conditioning doesn't really want that.
Yeah, we don't, let's not go there. You know, it'd be much, much better to do something more important. Yeah. It's amazing. It really makes it clear, isn't it, how much conditioning just doesn't like us. You know, how much it's not interested in us being successful or having what we want or being happy or any of those things. It truly is just interested in us suffering.
The other thing I've been trying to do is I work for someone else now, and the type of work I do is massage, and I'd like to stop working at the spa and start having more private clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm struggling to even get started on that. It's the same thing conditioning is doing, is saying you're never going to do that.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about kind of going off on your own like that, what kind of feelings happen? I mean, is it inspirational like that? Is it exciting? Any of those kind of things?
A little bit, not as much as artwork, but a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for both those things, it really goes back to what Catherine was talking about a minute ago, it seems like, doesn't it? You know, here's something that, two things, especially it sounds like the art, that, you know, kind of pull you out of the world of self-hatred and into, you know, a possibility of something a lot larger. And, you know, there's something within you that's willing to say yes to that. You know, you scheduled time for that even today. But there's also something within you that really is not interested in that and wants you to stay small, wants you to remain unhappy, it sounds like, and, you know, and really not have a chance to have the life that you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I was today. I was really surprised at how vicious it was. I mean, I just I had to keep saying no.
Yeah, it's really true. Well, and you can tell by the viciousness of it how much it's being threatened. You know, we might say even, you know, how much whatever it is that you're trying to do for yourself is full of heart or full of you know, close to what you want for yourself. Because, you know, the more that you kind of head in a direction towards self-love and self-compassion and sort of the ability to give yourself the life that you want, the bigger and bigger, you know, the voices will get and the bigger the guns and the different tricks they'll pull out to try to pull you away from that.
So keep calling in, keep participating.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's another little trick you can try if you want to. I actually just did this the other day with something that was challenging me. Like set a date to go and do your art, and I don't know, do you paint or draw, or what do you do?
I do lots of different things, but painting and drawing is yeah, I do that.
Painting and drawing stuff. Okay, so you have probably your place where you do that, or you set up a place to do that.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you have, like, let's say, I don't know what it looks like, but maybe let's say you have your drawing pad or your paper that you're going to paint on. You've got your paints, you got everything lined up. And then over beside it, get another piece of paper and put at the top of it something like, this is what self-hate says.
Okay.
Have you done this one before?
I've done it with other things than artwork.
Mm-hmm. It might be fun to try because, boy, does it give you, in my experience, it gives you a power over those voices that you might not have otherwise. So, you know, you'll go there, you start painting, and then as soon as the voice says something, you know, about it, just write it down and then go back to painting and then write it down. And so you've got two kind of things going on at the same time. You're getting to do your art, and so the part of you who really enjoys art and feels inspired by art and wants to do that gets to have that experience. And you're also putting yourself in a place where you have a good chance of being outside of the self-hatred that normally surrounds that person.
Oh, good.
You know?
Good. That sounds like a great idea. I'll do that.
Yeah, and because then you can see it. Because if you're able to write it down, then you're not it. You know, you're separate from it. What conditioning always wants to do is get us in a place where we're basically not aware that it's doing what it's doing, because that's the only way that it has power over us. But if you can create a structure like that that sort of helps you to be aware of what it's doing while it's doing, then it really gives you a good chance to see it.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, because usually, oftentimes it's like, if I can tell you feel bad, you don't realize what's going on. And then you just notice that you're feeling bad and...
Mm-hmm. Have no idea how you got there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is good. I'll do that, and thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And thank you for everything that happens with Living Compassion, all of you guys.
Yeah, well, thank you too. You know, and really appreciate that. And you know, what I always want to say when people say that is, and thank you, and I mean it, because it takes all of us to create what happens. And, you know, like people, even people, you know, calling in on the show. I mean, it's just such a contribution to the whole thing to be willing to do that. And, you know, everybody's out there participating in the email classes or coming to retreats and workshops or reading the Africa blog or, you know, reading the Transform Your Life book or participating in the Peace Quotes or any of those things that are going on out there. Everybody's contributing something. And it's really kind of there's a lot to be grateful for on every end of it, I feel like, for everything that everyone's doing to make it all happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So thank you.
Thank you. Good luck with your project.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Hey.
Goodbye. Thanks for joining us, Isha. You're listening to Open Air. We have special privilege. Dave McKay, monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, is here. Dave, we have about 13 or so minutes left. I'm going to give out the phone number here. We have one caller in the queue. Phone number is, in North America, 888-4-SANGHA. If you spell out those letters, you get 888-472-6442. And we'd love to hear from you today. Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Laura, and I'm from San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Hi, Dave. I am so excited that I've actually finally called. I've been talking about this for probably a year now. And something, of course, always gets in the way. And used to be work, and now it's a little baby. And I actually almost stopped calling today because I thought, well, I'm actually not in crisis today. There's really no reason to call, but thought I would do it anyways just to maybe start a habit.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. I guess the thing, and I guess I could just start crying right now because I'm just, even though everything is actually going okay, it just feels so nice to hear your voice, and I kind of feel like I'm at the retreat again,
mm-hmm.
You know. I had a baby 3.5 months ago, and I think I was 4 months pregnant the last time I was at the retreat. And
neat.
It is. It's really neat. I had a lot of postpartum depression issues that came up with our first child, and it's kind of, you know, coming up again. Although I don't know if it's depression or it's just sleep deprivation.
It can be hard to tell, can it?
Yeah, I actually think it's sleep deprivation, but it's just, you know, the conditioning gets so strong when I'm tired, and I'm not living up to conditioning's expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I wonder, you know, as you've been listening to the show, if you recognize an element of what we've been talking about earlier, like, you know, here's this little being that's in your life. Probably there's feelings coming up towards that little being that are not really in keeping with. So.
Yeah, that happens, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, this is a big one. You know, this is a big one for conditioning, because it's gonna need to find some way to take away, you know, those natural, you know, loving feelings that you have, and turn it into something that it can use instead.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, and then it looks at all the things I'm not doing, like the house isn't clean, you know, which is the biggest thing, you know, and or I'm not back at work yet, and I should. And, you know, there's just all these little things that it points out that I'm not doing.
Right. Yeah, there's always something, isn't there?
Always, always.
Mm-hmm.
And I fall for it at least 90% of the time, you know?
Well, that leaves 10% out. That's good. that's pretty darn good.
You know, and it just, it's exhausting. You know, I'm already tired, and then it's, you know, the emotional fatigue from the battle in the head is just, mm-hmm. it's almost worse than the physical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, with anything that, like we've been talking about tonight, that inspires us or that calls us to you know, to some large expression of ourselves, you know, it brings up that battle. And it's true. One of my favorite words is slog. You know, it's a slog through all of that to try to get to the place where we know we want to go, and that conditioning is so much resisting.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing that I'm really struggling with is this idea of a good mom. And what it means to be a good mother, and like that I work, you know, and I mean, financially I need to work, but I also enjoy what I do, but feel like, you know, if I was a good mom, I wouldn't go back to work. I would stay home with the kid. I'd figure that out, and I'd actually enjoy it. And there's a part of me that feels that, you know, subpersonality like feels really guilty that I don't really enjoy being home with the kid 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of me is like, if I say it out loud, like if I heard another person say that to me, I would be very kind and compassionate to her. But I'm afraid to say it out loud, you know, because I'll get just reamed for it.
Yeah, or if you say it out loud, you might stop believing it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the other thing that can happen, you know. You know, that's the reason we get together in groups and talk about stuff, because if it's just banging around in our own little heads, you know, really hard to get a perspective on it. But as soon as it comes out of our mouths in a context where we can, you know, see it for what it is, it becomes a lot less easy to believe.
That's a really good point. That's probably more what it is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you recognize, I imagine, at least on an intellectual level, that good mom is just pure old run-of-the-mill conditioning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it easy to not believe it, but just to be, it seems helpful just to be aware of that, you know, that's really all that's going on.
Yeah.
I can remember my very first guidance appointment I ever had with Sherry. I was talking about, I had some issue going on and some decision I needed to make, and I was saying, I really want to do this, but I feel like I should do that. And she said, oh, well, shoulds always come from conditioning or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Just one of those moments where, you know, I had no idea that was so. I said,
yeah.
You know? And it's not that it makes it, I struggle with 10,000 or maybe 10 million shoulds since then, believe it, I'm like crazy. But there's something about knowing that, okay, well, should is just conditioning, that it's always helped me. You know, it's always it's always kind of put a weight on my side as I struggled against that conditioning to get through to the other side where, you know, they're really, where I see that, you know, that's just completely irrelevant. That should has nothing to do with the situation. There's a choice there. I can do whatever I want and feel good about it if, as long as there's not that conditioning there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's like a red flag. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm curious about something. When you might have said this, and I can't recall. Is it a boy or a girl?
Little boy.
Little boy. So, and so he's 3.5 months old right now?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Well, he's little bitty.
Little bit. Well, he's actually huge, but he's little.
So, you know, typically, you know, when you just look at him, how do you feel?
My heart just melts. He's just, he's fabulous.
Yeah, it just melts. Okay, that's kind of what I figured. So here's a little thing you can try if you want to.
Okay.
Now, what's going on, one way to talk about what's going on is that there's a contest for your attention happening in your head.
Uh-huh.
Right? You've got two big pulls right now. You've got him and those feet, and especially, you know, your heart just melts. You know, that feeling.
Yeah.
Him. The other big pull is conditioned mind and good mom and all the things you should be doing that you're not, all the things that you're doing you shouldn't be doing, you know, all the stuff to feel bad about.
Uh-huh.
That's really all that's going on is there's a, your attention could either go to one, could go to him and to that feeling,
yeah.
or could go to the voices and all the feeling bad that happens there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so what you might try if you want to is to practice returning, you know, normally we talk about returning the attention to the breath, you know,
yeah.
attention to physical sensations for the reason that if we can do that, then we pull our attention away from all the voices and we just get present and we're okay.
Yeah.
Right? You've got an extra added benefit, at least for a few years, where you've got this little amazing being who
yeah.
pretty, sounds like pretty spontaneously causes your heart to open.
Yeah.
And so you can turn your attention to that if you want to.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. So every time that you hear a voice, and you can, you know, depends on at what level you want to take this on, but, you know, people do
yeah.
stuff like, you know, devote a wall to all the things that conditioning says about
uh-huh.
being a mom, all the things you should do, all the things you shouldn't do, all the ways you can be right or wrong about it. And every time you see one of those, you hear one of those in your head, you know, there it is, right on, there's the chart. You know, or there's
yeah.
a piece of paper that says, nope, that's just conditioning. When you
yeah.
recognize that, that the voice is there, see if you can just turn your attention to him. Just look at him.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And move back to a place, move back to the place that conditioning is trying to take away from you, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a question. When that happens, what about, what is it when the voice is, there is that, there are moments when I can tune into the, my heart melting and really being connected with him and seeing all that he is. Then there are times sometimes when I'm feeling like he pulls me from, like he's taking from me. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I can't get him to sleep, I can't make him happy. And when he's not happy, then I start, you know, getting frustrated with him.
Mm-hmm.
So where... That's sometimes when I get lost because I know it's not him. He's just communicating his needs to me, and I haven't figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but I—that's when I get lost, and then I feel guilty because I'm getting mad at him.
Mm-hmm. So, if you were to say where that's coming from in you, how would you describe that?
Where that voice is coming from?
Yeah, I mean, a simpler way is, I mean, do you feel like conditioning is involved with that, or what do you think's going on?
Yeah, well, it's got to be because I think I'm taking it personal that I'm not meeting his, like I'm somehow failing because he's not happy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so in some way, you might not be quite aware of how you're being set up, but it sounds like you're being set up for some kind of failure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, it would feel like he's draining your energy because, like we were talking about this at the beginning of the show, being in a relationship with conditioning is an energy draining experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so being with him, I would guess, is an energy-producing experience.
Yeah, when I'm not engaged in taking it personal, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, when your attention is actually on him, not on conditioning, and you're just allowing those feelings to move.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot
yeah.
of energy there, probably.
Yeah.
When you're
yeah.
involved with the story, listening, you know, believing what a voice is saying, suddenly all that energy that was maybe flowing even a minute before when you saw him, it just suddenly got diverted into
yeah.
another place, and now it's all getting siphoned away from you.
Yeah, that would fit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the voice, like, tries to trick me in trying to think, you know, because it's like tells me I shouldn't be tired or this should be fun, you know, it should be easy. Other people do it so well, and I really actually intellectually know is not true.
Yeah, that's been,
you know?
you hear people talking, that's always what they're saying.
Yeah,
it's the same things you are.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So it's one of those places where it's good to remember anything that the voices are saying is not going to be helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the old, there's an old Zen expression that goes something like listen to everything but believe nothing. You know that one?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
mm-hmm.
one.
So we have to listen because we want to see what's going on. We want to see what conditioning's up to so we don't get pulled into it. But
yeah.
we don't have to believe any of it because that's the point of the voices. If they can get us to believe what they're saying, then yeah, we're hooked in, our life energy is going to conditioning, and we don't get to have what we want.
That's a really great reminder, and it reminds me of what some things that you guys have said of the idea is, if it's not kind and compassionate, you know, it's conditioning.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's nice that we can make big, broad statements like that. You know,
yeah.
Clarify everything. Kind of like, all shoulds come from conditioning.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just, you know, big kind of litmus test that we can go by. And that's probably the best one is, you know, if it's not kind, it's not your heart. It's conditioning.
Oh, that's been really helpful. That's really great. Yeah. Those are really great reminders.
Yeah. Yeah, and a really good practice time for you, it sounds like. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, just like we were talking about earlier, you know, it's these big heart things in our lives that really give us the opportunity that we're looking for to move, you know, to allow ourselves to become bigger than we know ourselves to be. And so it seems like life is really kind, that it gives us those kind of things to work on sometimes.
And that's a great way to reframe it, you know, versus, you know, life is so hard and,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. And congratulations again about calling in. Call in again down the road a little bit if you want to.
I promise I will. I will. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air. Dave, we're at the top of the hour. It's been a great privilege, as usual, to have you on the air. And it's fun with Third Team in Africa. You've been on the air more frequently.
Yeah, it's nice. It gives me some nice opportunities.
Great. Thanks for joining us, and good night.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.